Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy.
Hi guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy. Today we're talking about Season 5, Episode 8, the spoiler section for Shadow. Well, guys, we're getting into the thick of things here. Buffy's just going to get more and more stressed and miserable as the season goes on. I feel like this was the first episode that I was like, ooh, Buffy's really like having a hard time. But, you know, the good thing is that Riley's finally starting to officially cheat now, so we can, you know, count down the days until he's gone.
People still refuse to categorize this as cheating. I'm like, do y'all understand what metaphor is in this universe?
I also think I'd rather be cheated on. Like, I think I'd rather be, like, normally somehow cheated worse on than this.
It's also, like, I think when it comes to things like this, a lot of it depends upon how your partner categorizes it. And Riley knows 100% Buffy wouldn't take this well. But I actually just watched this TikTok this week where this guy was interviewing people in Japan, women, and he said, if your partner went to a prostitute or went to, you know, another woman and paid for sex, would you consider that cheating?
And 95, I saw that.
Yes. 95% of them said no. And that's just the difference between like Asian cultures.
Like, what?
It's very, brothels and sex workers are hugely profitable in Asia and Japan and Korea and all that stuff. Like it's very big over there. And so it's a little bit more culturally accepted. So I would imagine someone like that would probably be like, well, what Riley did, I don't necessarily see as cheating in itself. But the fact that like he and Buffy had never discussed it and that she was not okay with it, like, I think it's cheating. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. But yeah, I think it's cheating. There's a couple of things to talk about. There's not a lot to talk about. This episode and the next really are just kind of build up for Into the Woods.
They're just Riley hate episodes.
Kind of are. They just needed to give Riley a couple episodes to show that it's a pattern of what he's doing, but then also to kind of like continue the whole Joyce not doing well arc and stuff. So in light of Joyce not doing well, so there's that moment where Giles is talking to Buffy. He says, the truth is the mystical and the medical aren't meant to mix, Buffy. I'm sorry, but the human brain is very delicate. Too much can go wrong. And then Tara says, yeah, I've heard stories about people trying healing spells. If we did something, it could make things a lot worse. And I thought that was so interesting. The writers are doing a really good job of setting the stage for not only Joyce's death, but Buffy's death as well. Making it like creating doubt. And like, you can't bring Joyce back from the dead. Like, she's dead. But also even kind of creating doubt about Buffy's death. Is it a natural death or is it a supernatural death? And obviously we find out in season 6 it was supernatural. But the way things end in season 5, as a viewer, you're like, can you bring Buffy back? Like, what's going to happen?
Well, it's also weird because it's not exactly like she like dies. She just like jumps into this like void.
Well, she does die, but it's
I know she dies, but it's not like she gets shot or like she just like jumps into the gift.
She's like electrocuted and you're like, is that supernatural? Yeah. So I just thought that they did a really good job of setting the stage for that and also kind of creating this like establishing the lore before things even happen, you know? Something that I never thought about until after I saw this episode, and I'm also going through Angel season 2 as well, and we haven't gotten to the Pylea arc yet. We're going to get into that in a couple of weeks.
That's
but
the end of season 2, right?
Yes, you have Queen Cordelia, and she has to –
I actually really liked Pylea. It's kind of a cute little arc.
That's so funny because people who really hate – the dark Darla arc of that season love Pylea, and people who love the dark Angel part with Darla hate the Pylea.
See, but
arc.
I kind of liked season 2. I kind of liked the Darla and the Pylea stuff.
You didn't like it the first time we watched
it. No, it was a lot. It was a lot to swallow. But that was also years ago. I've learned to process it and realize the importance of it, especially for Angel's character.
I just remember in the
– I just was having a heart – I feel like I was traumatized watching Angel, yes, to be honest.
I just remembered the episode where Angel locks the lawyers into room.
I was
with
gagged.
Drew and Darla. You were like, stop. I don't want to watch this anymore. They're ruining Angel. And you were like so mad.
That's because it is dark. Let me say, I will stand by that. It is dark. But like, I mean, Angel had to go through a lot of darkness in order to like realize like, hey, I need to be doing this fight all on my own, not just for like, you know, somebody to come and save me sort of thing, which is important for his arc and for Angel of the show. But it is rough to watch still. I stand by that.
Yeah, it's so funny because Leia and I mean, by the time this episode comes out, we'll have already aired those episodes. So I can kind of say our thoughts over there. But it's funny because we had Naj for that episode, which was really, really fun. Leia, Naj and I all were kind of like, we kind of don't think what Angel did was bad. Like the lawyers.
Same. I didn't think it was that bad. Remember I told you, I said, oh, I thought he was going to be way worse. Like, I remember saying that. I was like, oh, I thought it was going to be way worse.
He just let
them. Even still, they were awful people. Like,
Yeah. They're awful people. And they, I know. So anyway, like you've already heard over there, but it was just, it was kind of funny how we were all like, we understand narratively that it's not the act of what he did that was wrong. It's his own heart motivation that like Angel at that point is just absolutely despairing. And this is like him continuing to spiral towards darkness, which is not good. But like if Angel had been in a completely sound mind and made that choice, I would have been like, absolutely nothing wrong here. Like you do you. Okay. So speaking of, I got sidetracked, but talking about Pylea, I noticed there were some parallels between Riley and Gru. In this episode in particular, like both, no, just hear me out.
Yeah, I'm like, please don't ruin that character for me.
No, I love Gru.
I have
to
say,
me?
The fact that Riley is not like a very good character on his own is the fact that they have to keep comparing him to every other male character in both shows.
Yeah. And
he can't stand on his own.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone else is compared to Angel.
I don't think they're comparing him. I just noticed some parallels, and I think that's just because there's the same writers for both shows. But like both Gru and Riley see the writing on the wall when it comes to Cordy and Buffy being distracted and their attentions being pulled elsewhere. Both of them say, like, have a conversation with someone else and talk about like if she needs me, and then they like leave out the door. And like that happened with Riley in this episode,
Justice
and that also
Gru,
happened.
Dude, I loved I know. Gru.
Did I tell you I went on a rant one time on Instagram about how Gru was Cordelia's soulmate and he should have been the one with her?
Yeah,
and
he commented or something.
He like liked all my comments and I was like,
well, he like called her princess, treated her like an actual princess, came
He's
back
exactly
for her.
Who Cordelia wanted. Dude.
Ugh. I'm like, I'll take Gru. Shoot. Like, he's so nice.
They really did waste their relationship.
And it wasn't even a real one. She didn't even give him the time of day when they were dating.
I think that they would have been perfect to each other. It made more sense than her being with Angel.
Just saying. Yeah.
All right. So Riley says, you don't know anything about Buffy to Spike. Never did. I'm the only one that knows what she needs. Okay. And it's this attitude that leads to him assuming she doesn't love him and to him gaslighting her and into the woods. And then, of course, we have him cheating this episode. But I always forget about him killing Sandy. Like, I always remember the cheating, but then I forget that he stakes her afterwards. And that's a huge yikes. Really bad no-no. And I will also admit that in my past rewatches, I always did think that Riley had a bit of a point in saying that Buffy holds herself back and doesn't give herself fully to him. And while I don't think she's as open with him as she is with Angel, I see her leaning on him and relying on him and appreciating him a ton in this episode. So I take back everything that I thought in the past, because this episode, I don't know what was going on with Riley.
Well, but also there is a point where it's like, especially when you're looking at people that struggle with like mental health and have just been burned and bruised by life. There is a capacity where it's like they cannot love or trust more than X, Y, and Z. And you kind of have to like get, if you are their significant other, you have to get to a point where you're like, can I be okay with what they can give me?
Right.
And if I can't, that's okay. Like, if Riley stepped back and was genuinely like, I need more of you, Buffy. Like, I need more of you. Well, if he did that like a season ago, I would have been like, valid. Like, that's valid. But it's the fact that he like keeps faulting Buffy for not being able to give him parts of her that she isn't able to give anymore.
Yeah. And I think in Out of My Mind, they kind of did have that conversation. And she keeps telling him, like, I do care about you. I do love you. And he says, loving you is the scariest thing I've ever had to do. And she's like, I don't know why. He just doesn't believe her when she tells him that she does care about him. But then it's like, okay, then at that point, you need to see that she's giving you everything she can. And if that's not enough for you, like, I know we've said this a bajillion times, but just leave. Like,
but I also feel like if it is terrifying to the point where you're like, loving you is the scariest thing. Like, I can understand being like obviously, like,
that's unhealthy.
Like, if you've been burned in relationships, I understand, like, initially going into a relationship being scared. But once, like, that person is, like, your person, you're in a relationship with them, and they've been together for, like, a bit when he says this, still saying it's, like, the scariest thing he's ever done is a little bit, like, and she doesn't feel that. It's, like, maybe this relationship isn't, like, secure. Like, question mark?
Or maybe you're putting too much of your identity into this relationship.
And you're reading to the point where she does.
You're terrified if she doesn't live up to your expectations, or you're terrified this relationship won't work out and everything about you and who you are is going to crumble. That's just not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so speaking of Into the Woods, again, I don't want to get into too much because obviously we're going to have a whole lot to say, but I was struck by something. So Xander was pretty firm with Riley in this episode, which we were like, well done. Kudos to Xander. Great job. As he should be, right? What the heck happened in Into the Woods? Why did he give that speech to Buffy and not Riley? Like, I went back and watched the episode. Xander doesn't know what Riley did to Buffy when he confronted her. So maybe that's
he just takes Riley's side immediately.
But of course he would say all that without all the info. But also just like, why did the writers make that choice? I don't get it. Xander was calling Riley out in this episode. Why didn't he go to Riley? Like, I just am so confused by what they did with Xander in that episode.
I genuinely think that Xander was really who they used to try and make it seem like Riley was a good guy in the end, and that he wouldn't have done all that if it's such a victim blaming mindset.
That's absolutely what they were trying to say.
Of like, oh, well, it's like that whole age old story of like a guy cheats, and it's like, well, what were you doing that made him, or what were you not doing that made him need another woman type of thing, where it's like, maybe he's just a freak. But it's like, I just think, I hate it. I hate that conversation. I think it's good for Xander in a sense, like, to give him character to be like, you know what, like, speaking up for someone.
Sure.
But like, even then I'm like, shut up.
It was not applicable for their relationship though. Like, it didn't work for them.
No. And that's when you kind of go, is Xander projecting here? Is he talking to Buffy going, because he tells Buffy, he's the one, Buffy. Like you're never going to have another one like him. And it's like, Xander, I think that the one left like two seasons ago. I think that you are looking at Riley as the normal guy that got a chance with Buffy in a way that you always wished you could have. And so you're rooting for him. So this is you speaking on behalf of almost even yourself, like you're projecting your own experiences and your own desires.
It's like healing his rejected self, his past rejected self.
Girl. Yep. No, totally. And obviously we'll talk more about that because, I mean, that whole episode is triggering because there's like the conversation between Riley and Buffy and then the conversation between Xander and Buffy. And you're like, what is happening right now? And then the whole episode plays Buffy as irrational too. I was watching parts of it today and I was like, are you kidding me? Ridiculous. Okay, Spike. So Spike is clearly escalating in his violation of Buffy. And this is all heading towards the Buffy bot this season. And on its own, the panty-stealing, sweater-sniffing shenanigans are vile. But remember, this is the morning after he found her crying on the porch. After he went to kill her, he saw her in her most vulnerable state, supposedly had that sweet moment where he like puts his arm on her shoulder and people want to be like, oh my gosh, he's a lover and like all this stuff. He realizes she's going to be out all day with Joyce and Dawn and takes advantage of going into her home and stealing her things and violating her privacy. And I think it was you, Leah, that mentioned the spoiler-free episode about how it's easy to laugh Spike off this season and last season because he's hilarious and he's been portrayed as stupid and a character to poke fun at. But this is concerning behavior that is obviously just going to escalate.
Yeah, I think it's just hard with Spike. I feel like I love Spike. He's so interesting, so dynamic. But also, he's inconsistent. And I think that that's the really hard part about talking about Spike is that you have people who would be like, Spike would never do that. And you're like, honestly, we don't really even know what the frick Spike would do. Like, Spike does so many things that make no sense. No sense.
I don't know. Like, I agree. I think this is completely consistent.
I think they push the envelope is the
issue.
No,
no, no. I'm saying, sorry. No. I was just saying, like, I think this is consistent. I'm saying that.
Oh, they having write the moment Spike, of him, like, hugging Buffy on the porch feels inconsistent?
No, because I think in that way it was more of like, he has feelings for her. Sure. So it's like, it's easy to have sympathy for someone you have feelings for.
So what would you say would be inconsistent then? I'm curious.
Everything with Dawn.
Oh, but okay, but he knows that Dawn is so important to Buffy, and also Dawn is supposed to be a representation of Buffy. Couldn't it be selfish reasons True. For him caring for Dawn?
True. So my whole theory of Spike, and this is how I excuse a lot of the inconsistencies that they've written into him, is that Spike may think that he's doing it for selfless reasons, but he's not.
Sure.
And so when he does stuff, like when he goes to Dawn, when he goes to Buffy, when he comforts people or doesn't make the bad decision, and he kind of like, it seems like he's doing it for good reasons, I think it's like he's trying to trick himself and being like, yeah, like I'm, but I think it ultimately it's always self-motivated. It is always self-motivated. For as long as he is a vampire without a soul, it's always self-motivated.
Well, and with your whole Dawn theory and like saying you're not sure why he treats her so kindly in season four, a big reason why I believe that he's treating Dawn kindly because he's trying to get to Buffy is in season six, as soon as he starts sleeping with Buffy, he stops hanging out with Dawn altogether and stops caring for her and all that. Like Dawn gets lost in season six. That's why her and Tara bond. So I really think that like that's a big – because a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, why is he so sweet to her? And it's like because he's selfish. He wants Buffy and he knows that's the way to her. And he gets rewarded in intervention with a kiss, so of course he's going to continue
also,
being nice.
I feel like, because people will argue, well, he was really nice and was there for Dawn when Buffy died, but I also kind of feel like, hear me out, I feel like it's one of those things that he's like a scorned, like unrequited lover, and like his unrequited
people
love
are
died
suckers for that,
and like and like I'm gonna like he in his twisted romanticized brain can be like, I helped her sister and I protected her, and like it fits into his like narrative, and like it works. I don't think it was fully selfless. I mean, obviously he doesn't have like a soul at that point, but okay, guys, I am looking forward to but also dreading Crush, because I love that episode, but like I was like, so like I'm like heavily on like reaction YouTube, like reaction videos and all that stuff. And I watch like all the Buffy ones. I think they're so good and everything. And what makes it really hard is every time reactors get to Crush, all the comments are flooded with people that are like, oh, poor Spike at the end, like getting like, you know, I don't even know what the word would be, just like expelled from her house or whatever. He's not allowed to come in, uninvited. There we go. Sorry, guys. It's been an emotionally taxing week. but like, and then the whole like, everyone just gaslights Buffy. If they're a fan of Spike, they just gaslight Buffy in that episode. And I
did
just
you
like
lead him
huge,
on and-
huge shout out to Prophecy Girls podcast. They did this whole post about like, we believe you, Buffy. Yeah. And it just is like such like, I was like, oh, like finally like people who like love Buffy and like get it. Like I like the whole time, like Spike is like genuinely scary in that episode. Like, and Leah's like, Leah like talks about how like, you know, you can look at the episode and find it funny objectively, but you also have to like be outside of yourself for a second, guys. If my daughter ever told me like, hey, this guy really loves me, but then said all the things that, like, even I know the supernatural, but like, I don't know, like him like tying her up and being like, I'm going to torture you, and then being like, oh, I'll kill my ex-girlfriend for you. And then she keeps saying, like, I don't like you, Spike. And he's like, no, you're lying. I know you like me. Everyone in the comments is all like, oh, like, Buffy, like just is like rejecting the fact that she likes him. I'm like, can we believe her maybe? Like, has she shown any signs that she likes Spike up until this point? No. But also she has said multiple times and multiple occasions and was even being threatened by death and was like, no, I don't like you. I don't know. I just for Buffy in the episode, dude. And it's a funny episode. Don't get me wrong. I thoroughly enjoyed the episode. Having Drusilla back is so fun. Like, I love the episode. I think it's really interesting. I think it's like, but like, Spike is not okay in that episode. Like, he, like, yeah. Objectively, he's like really scary. It's kind of like a horror comedy. That's what that episode is.
Yeah. And I want to be like fair and kind to people that don't see the show the way that we do. But it's honestly really concerning that there are so many people out there that don't see the things that Spike does for the problems and for the problematic behavior that it is. There tends to be this idea that if I like this person and they're my problematic fave, that therefore I never criticize them. And it's like, you can like a character. Mm-hmm. I actually like Spike. I think he's funny. I think he's compelling at times, but I also think he's really nasty and vile. And I think that he gets a pass in this fandom because he's good looking, because James Marsters is freaking good at what he does, and because the writers are very good at writing things on Buffy. But I talk all the time about Passion of the Nerd and how much I love Passion of the Nerd and all his analysis videos and stuff like that. But he actually just released a video this week on Intervention, and that's the episode that introduces the Buffy bot. And he described the Buffy bot and Spike's interactions as cute. And
what?
No, please, what?
Yes. And then at the very end of the episode of his analysis, he was saying that, well, Buffy and Angel's relationship was toxic, and then made a montage of all the moments where, like, in Amends, where Buffy hits Angel, and portrayed that as, this is proof that their relationship was toxic.
I'm sorry.
And what? That's
suicidal.
Yeah, I know, right? That's not the context of the episode.
She was saving him.
Yes, exactly. So it's just really hard where even – and that's not to completely bash Pash the Nerd, because I absolutely adore his videos, but I wanted to publicly come on here and say that I don't agree with that, because I've touted his videos a lot. And we'll talk about that when we get to Intervention. But it's just really frustrating when – both men and women see that and see this behavior and go, oh, well, like, that's really sweet. Like, it's really cute. And let's face it, Sarah Michelle Gellar as the Buffy bot is absolutely adorable, because it's Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. It's not her fault. She doesn't know. We're not faulting the Buffy bot herself. She's a robot.
Right. But it's just really hard because things like this keep popping up in the fandom. People keep excusing and normalizing behavior that is not okay. And I think we're just now starting to see some of it, because we're just now starting to get into the Spike narrative, and Spike is very popular. And so moving forward into the future with future characters and stuff, like, I want to be fair, but I also want to point out when this behavior is just not okay, and call other people out when they're excusing behavior that's not okay too. So anyway, okay, my last question for you guys is Spike's words to Riley when he says that Buffy's got a type and Riley's not it, that she likes us dangerous, rough, occasionally bumpy in the forehead region. Not that she doesn't like you, but sorry, Charlie, you're just not dark enough. Do you guys think Spike is right, given the fact that Buffy does end up sleeping with Spike next season?
No.
Why not?
Because I think that Buffy was at a low point and Spike was there. He was a body and he was persistent and he was an escape. Maybe calling him a body is maybe not that. That's probably not,
I mean, he pretty much is a body. He's dead, but yeah.
But like, he was someone who gave her affirmation and someone who made her feel alive. And he was someone who, I think that if she hadn't come back from the dead and wasn't in the lowest point of her life, she never would have slept with Spike.
Yeah, I agree.
Feels like he just kind of wore her down.
I don't think she wanted to sleep with Spike in this season.
I feel like we've had this discussion, and I feel like I said it better then, so I'm like trying to weigh if it's worth trying to articulate right now. I don't know. I I don't agree, but I also feel like my brain is not going to come up with this beautiful answer.
It's okay.
Right now. But based on how she talks to him after they hook up, I'd probably say no. Saying you're just convenient is probably a big indicator to my argument.
You think so? I think we should believe Buffy. What do you think?
Yeah, honestly, we're changing the podcast name to Believe Buffy, just so you guys know.
No kidding. Seriously, that actually would have been a really
Women's good Voices podcast, Matter but. Is what our podcast is going to be called. Seriously. Now.
Buffy is a victim of Joss Whedon and Marty Noxon and Jane Espenson. You're muted, Leah.
Every character is.
Yeah. So, I mean, this might be controversial, but I don't think it's Buffy's fault that her and Riley didn't work out. I think it's squarely due to Riley's insecurity and circumstances. That's not the controversial part. The controversial part is I think that Buffy and Riley actually probably would have worked out and been fine and gone on to have a healthy relationship if Riley hadn't been insecure and hadn't actually just completely bombed that relationship.
I think the operative word there is happy or not happy is fine and good. I think that yeah. Riley and Buffy would have had a very fine, normal relationship. Sure. But it would have never been her once-in-a-lifetime love with Angel. But I think could have been happy enough with Riley.
Yes.
Unfortunately. I agree. I hate that guy.
Yes. I think she would have been okay with him and had an okay life. I think Buffy definitely does have a dark side. I think that's what this season is kind of talking about, like what she has to come to grips with. But what drew her to Angel, was it his darkness, guys? No, it was their connection on having a shared destiny that both of them recognized someone else that was like, hey, you've been forced into something without your consent. So have I. And she fell for him even before she knew he had a dark side, before she knew he was a vampire. Yeah, she slept with Spike because he was convenient. I do think she did, and I know she did eventually grow to have feelings for him, but I don't think that had anything to do with his darkness. And I think season 7 is proof of that. He's not dark anymore, and she cares for him still. But season 6 is she was simply using him because she hated herself at the time and thought that his evilness was what she deserved. It was a punishment for herself, not because it was Spike. And that's just Spike making more of himself.
And you know what? I might say something a little mean right now, so
it's okay. We like unfiltered, Tabby.
Sometimes I don't. I look back. I'm like, that maybe was a little too far. Maybe I don't agree with past Tabby. I change my mind all the time. Just kidding. Sometimes I do, but I feel like the whole Buffy storyline.
You literally just changed your mind right now. You're like, I change my mind all the time. Just kidding. No, I don't. Actually, sometimes I do.
I feel like the whole storyline of Buffy and Spike is literally just a different metaphor for self-harm and self-punishment in season 6, and people don't get that.
Yep,
people don't have media comprehension, and it pisses me off when it comes to that. Like, for real. No, I actually, like, it's one of my soapboxes, particularly with Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV show. Like, that would be one of the things that would be one of my 3 soapboxes. Like, I'm being so for real. Like, people just people either romanticize it or or think that, like, I don't know, dude. It's just season 6 Buffy hates herself, hates being here, hates life. Like, my girl is struggling, and the only way to feel is to be with Spike, yes, but it's also a way to punish herself because she's projecting her hatred on Spike as a hatred of herself too. And so she's leaning into what she hates because she feels like she deserves it. So it's a very complex emotional response, and I'm going to withhold other things. So yes, that is my opinion on that. And it really pisses me off when people don't. It doesn't piss me off if people don't get it. It pisses me off when people
willfully
put a whole new meaning on top of it that is just so false. Because I'm just like, you're not understanding Buffy. And also, this discredits, like, everything that Buffy's going through. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It bugs me. Because, like, I really feel for her in season 6. I'm just like, oh, this poor girl. Like, and yes, she says some things that are, like mean or whatever, but she's also being honest, question mark. But also like Spike doesn't have a soul. And I'm sorry, yeah, but I don't feel bad for him.
Buffy being nice to vampires. Like, we have her insulting them all the time when she's about to slay them. Why is Spike any different? So, yeah. And I have a little bit of grace for people who watch season six and don't quite get it fully.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Because I do think the writers, and they've admitted this, they didn't write it very clear. They kind of left it a little bit titillating on top of that. We've talked about this a ton. And that's going to be my big soapbox for season six is – if you want this to be projected and portrayed as toxic and as a metaphor for self-harm, don't make it sexy because that's confusing. And then you start – and then especially if you're ending with sexual assault, like actual sexual assault, and you've had, you know, like tons of times where there's been no, but the boundary's been crossed and like – but then you make it like this sexy, sexy scene. It's like, well – the way that you shoot it is a problem. The way that you're showing it and portraying it is a problem. So anyway, that's going to be a whole other topic for season six. But I just – I feel season six looming over us as we get closer and closer to it. And I'm just like, oh, man, here we go. But all right. Well, I guess we had more to talk about than I anticipated, but isn't that how it always goes? thanks so much for listening, you guys. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know your thoughts. You guys can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Tumblr at Becoming Buffy Podcast. You can email us at becomingbuffypodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much for supporting us, guys. A special thank you and shout out to our producers, Cashan, Paul, CJ, Kate, Chrissy, and Sophie. We just are so appreciative of you guys. Thank you to all the rest of our listeners, and we'll talk to you guys next time.